Let's establish the baseline for listeners who may be coming to this story fresh, because the speed of escalation here has been disorienting even for people following it closely. We are now 11 nights into sustained Iranian strikes. The conflict has moved well beyond what most analysts expected in its initial phase, and the economic pressure is real. Oil is sitting at approximately $90 a barrel, the dollar is climbing as a safe haven trade, and we're seeing emerging market currencies getting squeezed as investors flee to the greenback.
The Kuwait dimension has to be the humanitarian thread that grounds all of this in human reality. Iran has now struck Kuwait's power and water infrastructure for 4 consecutive days. Kuwait's national grid is weakened during peak summer heat. We're talking about temperatures regularly exceeding 110 degrees Fahrenheit in the Gulf region right now. Kuwaiti authorities are urging residents to ration electricity and cut air conditioning use. For many people, particularly the elderly and sick, that's not a minor inconvenience. Kuwait has now summoned Iran's ambassador, which is a formal diplomatic protest, though at this stage the practical impact of summoning an ambassador feels somewhat thin relative to the severity of what's happening on the ground.
And the Kuwait strikes are strategically significant beyond the humanitarian cost. Kuwait is not a combatant in this conflict. It's a Gulf Cooperation Council member with deep ties to both the U.S. and to regional stability. Iran striking Kuwaiti infrastructure is a message to every Gulf state about the price of proximity to American interests. It's coercive signaling at a regional scale.
The Pentagon's identification of a missing U.S. soldier killed in this conflict is another marker of how real the human cost has become. We don't have full details on circumstances, but the fact that the Pentagon is in the process of formally identifying casualties tells you this is no longer a situation where American forces are purely operating from a distance. The U.S. military is exposed.
Trump's own positioning is striking. On one hand, he's publicly vowing to strike Pickaxe Mountain, which is a fortified underground facility in Iran that American and Israeli intelligence believe is connected to nuclear activity. On the other hand, he's simultaneously weighing whether to pursue a ceasefire. These two postures look contradictory, but I think they actually reflect a negotiating logic. He wants Iran to believe the nuclear strike is imminent while keeping a diplomatic off-ramp available. The question is whether Tehran reads it that way or decides the threat is real enough to justify preemptive escalation.
Iran's military command has been explicit. Any attack on nuclear sites triggers what they called a powerful assault on U.S. and allied interests across the region. That's not vague language. They're describing a multi-theater response. We're talking about potential simultaneous action against American bases, against Israel, against Gulf infrastructure. Laura Ingraham, who is about as sympathetic to Trump's foreign policy instincts as any media voice gets, publicly urged him this week to find an exit before the midterms. When your base's most prominent media supporters are telling you to de-escalate, that's a political signal worth noting.
The financial warfare piece is underreported relative to the military angle. The Treasury Department announced it froze a $130 million IRGC crypto wallet and said it identified what it called Khamenei's money man, the individual managing cryptocurrency flows for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. This is significant because it shows the U.S. has developed real-time visibility into how the IRGC moves money through digital assets. $130 million is not pocket change, but it's also not the total IRGC financial picture. What it signals is that the financial pressure campaign has teeth and that the administration is choosing to announce these seizures publicly as part of the information war.
The Hormuz dimension ties directly back to that shipping captain image Marcus used to open the show. Sunacor, the South Korean shipping company, is now offering crews 6 months of additional salary to sail through the Strait of Hormuz. To put that in concrete terms, if a sailor makes $60,000 a year, they're being offered $30,000 extra for a single passage through a contested waterway. The insurance costs on that cargo are staggering, and the downstream effect is that global operating costs are hitting records, which feeds directly into inflation fears that are already keeping central banks up at night.
JP Morgan published an interesting finding this week. Their analysis shows that Trump's Truth Social posts about the Iran conflict are now moving Treasury yields by less than 1 basis point. The bond market has essentially priced in the noise. It's tuning out the rhetoric and waiting for actual policy outcomes. That's a rational response to months of volatility, but it also means the market signal that might have moderated Trump's communication strategy is no longer functioning. When your posts stop moving rates, you lose a feedback mechanism.
The broader economic picture is deteriorating in ways that compound each other. Oil at $90 feeds into inflation. Inflation feeds into dollar strength. Dollar strength crushes emerging market economies that borrowed in dollars and now have to service that debt with weakening currencies. The yen at 163 to the dollar, its weakest since 1986, is part of this same dynamic. Japan's monetary policy is already under stress, and a weaker yen makes imported energy even more expensive for a country that imports nearly all of its oil.
This conflict has moved from a regional security story into a genuinely global economic event. And the decision Trump is weighing, ceasefire or escalation, will determine whether the next chapter of that economic story is managed pain or something significantly worse.